Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Kama daf Samach Dalid. We are holding on daf Samach Gimel Amid Beis Bishlam Alaman Yomar, 6 lines from the end of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Leila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Leah Shalom, by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives, who should all return home safely, by Simeon Moshe Kleinman, the Schusser for Shalema, for Rafael Moshe Elimelech Ben Bashi, Shav Rafur Shalema, Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael, and by Chaim and Elisa Weichner Lezecher Nishmas, the 15th yard side of Elisa's father Avi Blumenfeld, Avram Yosef Ben Yisrael Shalom, and Neshama Shlav and Aliyah. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. Today's daf has one topic and one topic only, and that is continuing to darshin how we know that a towing tainas ganav is mishalim tashlumei kefel, and that a ganav is mishalim tashlumei kefel. And we're just going to go through a lot of the details in making drushos, the klalu pratu klal, and what happens if the two klalim are right next to each other, and then the pratim are mentioned afterwards, and how many pratim are mentioned in the klalu pratu klal, and should we view it as a ribui miyat ribui, meaning a lot of very, very technical drusha-related issues, but all on the theme of trying to figure out the idea that a towing tainas ganav, someone who was a shomer, and he claimed that the item was stolen from him, and then he swore to that, and it turned out that he had stolen it, that he not only has to return the item, but he has to pay back kefel. He has to pay kefel. So we already started that discussion, and we're deep into that discussion yesterday, but that's the discussion of the entire daf today as well. So let's begin. Bishlam leman yom echad beganav echad betoin tainas ganav. I understand very well, according to the opinion that we learned yesterday, that the first pasuk is talking about a ganav himself, that a guy who steals pays kefel. And then you have a second pasuk to tell me that a toin tainas ganav pays kefel. So Shapir, I understand how we can derive the payment that one is chayiv kefel in each case, right? Both by a regular ganav and by a toin tainas ganav, because you have a pasuk for each of them. Elamandiam travayu betoin tainas ganav. But according to the brisa that we had yesterday, that the two psukim that it says by a shomer, the two psukim are both referring to a shomer who's towing tainas ganav, and there is no pasuk that actually talks about a ganav himself paying kefel. Well, then where do I learn that din, the most fundamental din, that a regular ganav pays kefel? Now, the truth is, it's beferish in the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Im himatzei timatzei biyado ha-geneva misharan chamaratze chayim shnayim yishalem." So the kasha of the Gemara, the Pnei Yeshua points out, is that how do I know that the ganav is chayiv even when he steals something that's not balei chayim? Because the pasuk only says balei chayim. It says misharan v'chamar adse. So, but whatever the question is, we're just saying that even though the simple reading of the pasuk includes that a ganav pays kefel, but we just darshened all the pasukim to be about a towing tainas ganav. So where can we learn that a ganav himself pays kefel? So the Gemara brings a possibility. V'chi tema, maybe you're going to tell me, well, leisi b'kal d'chomer mi towing tainas ganav. The pasuk only talks about towing tainas ganav, but if a towing tainas ganav pays kefel, then kal d'chomer ganav himself is going to pay kefel. What's the kal d'chomer? Why is towing tainas ganav less of a reason to pay kefel, where we're going to say that even if he pays kefel, then for sure a ganav pays kefel? So the kal d'chomer we're going to see later in the daf relates to how he initially got the item. When a person is a ganav, it was bali yado b'isser, he stole the item. When a person is towing tainas ganav, it was given to him as a pikadon, he was asked to be a shomer on the item. It was bali yado b'heter. So if even something that's bali yado b'heter, he's going to have to pay kefel on that which is bali yado b'isser, kal d'chomer he's going to have to pay kefel on. But says Gemara, that can't be the limud from which we learn that a ganav pays kefel, because whenever you learn something from a kal v'chomer, there's a limitation, and that is dayo laba min adin lios kanidon, that anything that's derived from a kal v'chomer can't be more strict than the source of the limud. And in the source of the limud over here is a toin tainas ganav. Toin tainas ganav pays kefel, but only if he first swore falsely. A ganav atzmo pays kefel even if he didn't first swear falsely, even if there's no shvuah involved whatsoever, he just stole something. So that's a rule that Dayel Abba Menadin Leos Kanidon. Where do we derive such a rule from? So the Gemara back on Daf Chaf Hey told us that we learn it from the story of Miriam, where it says Vavia Yarok Yarak Befanah Halo Tichalim Shivas Yamim Tisagar Shivas Yamim, and so Miriam was therefore quarantined for 7 days. Now we should have said that if by Nazifas Av, who's a boss of Adam, she would require Shivas Yamim of Nazifa. So by Nazifas Hakadosh Baruch Hu, who's much bigger than a boss of Adam, she should require our boss. Or yeah, she required 14 days. No, but Da'il Abam and Adin, Leos Kanidon, that we can only punish her through that Kal V'chomer as much as what the source would have been, which is the Nazifas Ha'av. So therefore, she gets quarantined for 7 days and not for 14 days. So, says Gemara, Mala Alan B'Shvua Afkan B'Shvua. So Da'il Abam and Adin, Leos Kanidon, and therefore it should have been that a Ganav, if we're really deriving that a Ganav pays Kefel from a Kal V'chomer, from Toin Tainas Ganav, then a Ganav should only pay Kefel with the Shavua and should not pay Kefel in a regular case where you just steal something and never swore to anything. So that can't be the source that a Ganav pays Kefel. We need a different source. So what is the different source? Nafkale mitan de Bechiskia. We learn it from the Tan de Bechiskia, the idea that a Ganav pays Kefel. What's the Tan de Bechiskia? The Tan de Bechiskia, it says in the Torah when it comes to Tashlume Kefel, im hi matze ti matze biado agneva, mishor ad chamor ad se Chayim Shnayim Yeshalim. So Yomar Shor Geneva Vakol Bechlal. Let it just say Shor and Geneva, and then that a Ganav pays Kefel, and from there I'll learn from a Klalu Prat to Klal to include anything that's Metaltel V'Gufo Mammon that you pay Kefel on. Why does it have to say Chamor and Se in addition to Shor? Why does it have to give all of these Pratim, all of these examples of things that you might have stolen? Because Ilukach, if it only would have said Shor and Geneva, Hayis Yomer Ma Prat Mefurash Karv L'Gabe Mizbeach, I would have said that just like the example given is something that's brought on the Mizbeach, so you know which kind of things I pay Kefal on. Afkol Karv L'Gabe Mizbeach. I only pay Kefal on those things that can be brought on the Mizbeach. But anything that cannot be brought on the Mizbeach, I'm not going to pay Kefal on. And that's why the Torah says Seh, to tell me that you could be Marbe even things that are not brought on the Mizbeach. L'Rabbis Kol Davar Ma Yesh L'Chalahavi. So what do you want to learn from the Klal, had it not said se? What would you have learned from the Klal had the Torah not said se? So se, it says se that even he's brought on the Mizbeach, and it doesn't say had it not said it in the Pasuk Mefurish, I would have included se anyway. Meaning, what I'm saying is that had I only had the example of Shor, I would have thought it's limited to only things that are on the Mizbeach. So I'm only learning from the Klal HaAchron, I'm only learning se, because se is also something that's brought on the Mizbeach. So the Torah didn't need to say the word seh. I've already included it because it's already brought on the Mizbeach. So k'shomer seh, harei seh amur. So when the Torah goes and says the word seh, I already know seh. So amani mekayim geneva, the rabbis called davar. If I already know the word seh, then what's geneva coming to add? What am I darshaning from the word geneva, from this klal? It must be adding something that I didn't already know. Oh, it's coming to tell me kol davar, that anything, even that which is not part of the Mizbeach, if you steal it, you're chayiv kefel. So says the Gemara, the Brisa rather continues, Yomar Shor Seh Ugneva Vakol Bechlal. Okay, but it could have stopped there. It could have said Shor and Seh as the examples, and Gneva as this Klal, and we would include everything from a Klal Pratu Klal. Why does the Pasuk say Chamor? Because Ilukach, if the Torah would have said Shor, Seh, and Gneva alone, Hayisi Omer Ma Prat Mefurash, I would have said, well, both examples given of Shor and Seh are things that have Kedushas Bechar. So I've called Davar HaKadosh B'Bechora. And therefore, I would include anything that has Kedushas Bechar. If you steal something that has Kedushas Bechar, you're going to be Chayiv Kefel. And therefore, the Klal is only coming to include those animals that have Kedushas Bechar, which automatically would have included Chamar, because Chamar has Kedushas Bechar. So the Torah then goes out of its way and writes Chamar. Mayish Chalahavi, what would have been included had the Torah not said Chamar? I already would have included Chamar. Kishu Omer Chamar, Hare Chamar Amur. And then when the Torah goes out and writes Chamar, chamar, I already knew chamar. Hamani mekayim geneva. So then what is geneva coming to be marbe if it's not being marbe chamar because I already know chamar? L'rabos kol davar. It must be that it's coming to include even those things that don't have kedushas b'chora. So I already know all those things that cannot be brought on the zech, all those things that do not have kedushas b'chora, that anytime you steal something, you're going to be chayiv kefel. Okay, but yomar shor v'chamar se u'geneva v'akol b'chlal. Let it say shor, chamar, and se, and the word geneva, and we'll include everything with the klal pratu klal. Why does the pasuk have to say the word chayim? Ilukacha yisiyomar ma'aprat mufurish balei chayim. Had it only said shor, chamar, se, and geneva, I would have said, yeah, all of those examples are things that are balei chayim. And therefore the word geneva is coming to tell me afkol balei chayim, that is coming to teach me all balei chayim, but not anything that's not a bal chay. Ma yesh chalavi shar balei chayim. It would come to include all other balei chayim. Ooh, but now kshuamer chayim. Once it says the word chayim explicitly, hare balei chayim amur. Don't tell me that the klal prado klal is coming to expand the category to teach me balei chayim. It already says explicitly balei chayim. Hamani mekayim geneva. So what's the klal prado klal coming to expand and coming to include in the category? L'rabos kol davar, must be something that's even beyond balei chayim, even anything, even kol davar. So that's the brisa. So the brisa is telling me the reason I have each detail, each of the pratim that are mentioned, is to show me that when I have a klal prado klal to expand the category, it's beyond the qualities that I would have derived from the pratim themselves. And from the pratim themselves, I already would have included everything that's brought on the Mizbeach and that's not brought on the Mizbeach. I would have already included everything that has Kedushas Bechar and that does does not have Kedushas Bechar, and I would have included Balei Chayim. So that's why I need the Klala Achron to tell me even things that are not Balei Chayim. So Amar Mar. So now let's go back and assess this brisa of the Tanna de Bechizkiya. It said in the Brisa, Yomar Sharu Geneva. Let it just say Sharu Geneva at the very beginning of the Brisa. And we said and everything would have been included because it mentions Shar, which is a Prat, and Geneva, which is a Klal. Now the Gemara assumes that we're darshening the Pasuk with the Midah of Pratu Klal, where the Klal is coming to be Mosif on the Prat and is coming to be Marbe Kol Davar. So Gemara says, well, Miksiv Shar U Geneva? How do we even get off the ground? Does the Pasuk say Shar first and then say Geneva? Where are you going to go and darshen? Oprat uklal? No, geneva v'sharu d'chsev. It says geneva first, and then it says shar. If you want to darshan anything, it should be a klal uprat, not a prat uklal. And when you have a klal uprat, we assume ein bechlal ella masha beprat, that the prat is coming to limit the limud to only that example. So it should have included only shar. V'chi tema ilu nemar kamar. Maybe the Bryce is trying to ask that since ilu nemar, had it said shar first and then said geneva, we would have learned everything like a pratu klal, and the Torah would not have needed to write anything else. So why didn't the Torah say it this way? Meaning we're not darshaning from how the Torah actually formulated it. We're darshaning from why didn't the Torah formulate it as a simple pratu klal to be marbe. Well, ilu nemar shor geneva. Even if the Torah would have said shor first and then geneva, mimat samrit ma prat mufurash, would we have then been able to darshan and say, oh well, if the prat is something that's a particular min, and therefore the klal must be including anything that's similar to that min? No, that's not the drasha we would have made. Have a shor pratu geneva klal. What's the rule when you have a pratu klal? Pratu klal nasa klal mosif al prat v'shablu kol mili. When you have a pratu klal, we assume that the klal includes everything, not just those things that are similar to the prat. So mimanavshach, the drasha is flawed because we're trying to say the brayz of the Tanna de Bechizkiya was trying to say that when you have this mention of a klal and a mention of a prat, the klal is coming to include things similar to the prat. But that's not true of a klal uprat, nor is it true of a prat uklal. The way it's actually written in the Torah is as a klal uprat, which means that it really should have been only limited to the prat itself. And even what we're suggesting and what the Torah could have said, a prat uklal would have been inclusive of everything. Neither of those limudim tell you to include only those things that are similar to the prat. Ella kidichsiv ka'amri. No, what we're trying to say is, perhaps we can suggest that the Bryce is trying to say that the pasuk is as it's written. That first it says geneva, and then it says shor, and it's just not being so medayik in its lashon when it changes the order. Geneva v'shor mimat samrit hakol b'chlal. But if it says geneva v'shor, would we then say hakol b'chlal ima prat mefurash havle geneva klal v'shor prat klal prat in b'chlal mashab prat? It would just be a klal prat, and when you have a klal prat, you limit it to just the prat. Shor in midiachrin lo. It should only be inclusive of shor and nothing else. So says Gemara, Amarava Tana Achayim Kasamachle. No, this is neither a pratu klal nor a klalu prat. What this is a klalu pratu klal. When you have a klalu pratu klal, then we are marba anything that is ke'ena prat, anything that's similar to the prat. So we're relying on the word chayim in the pasuk. So from the word geneva, that's a klal. Shor is a prat. So that we could be marba everything. So that's why we have another klal, uklal pratu klal ka'amarle. We have another klal in the word chayim. So we're darshaning the pasuk with the midah of klal pratu klal. And that which is derived with the klal pratu klal, we're marba only those things that are similar to the prat. And that's what the Bryce is trying to say, that if it only would have said Geneva, Shor, and Chayim, I would have said only those things that are similar to a Shor, in that they're brought al Gabei HaMizbeach. That's line number one of the Bryce. It's not assuming Klal Prat, it's not assuming Pratu Klal, it's assuming Klal Pratu Klal. So says Gemara, V'lo Dami Klal Basra L'Klal Kama. Can you have Geneva and Chayim serve as the two Klalim within the same Klal Pratu Klal? They're very different kinds of Klalim. The word Chayim only includes Bali Chayim, so it's somewhat inclusive, but it's still very limited. It only includes living things. The word Geneva is inclusive of anything on earth. Anything could be a stolen item. So the two Klalim aren't similar to each other. So is that eligible to be used in a klal pratu klal when the two klalim are not similar to each other at all? Hatan de Beir Rabbi Shmuel, who says Gemara, answers Gemara that we're assuming like the Tan de Beir Rabbi Shmuel. The Chiyah Gavna Darshi Klal Yaprati. Tan de Beir Rabbi Shmuel holds that the methodology of limud of klal pratu klal allows for two klalim that are not similar to each other. That's a sugya in Chulin Daf Samach Vav, where it's a machlokas between the Tan de Beir Rav and the Tan de Beir Rabbi Shmuel, and the context is the psukim about a chagav that the Tan of the Beir Rav says that it's not derived with the klal pratu klal because the two klalim are in dom zelazeh, because the klal says asher lo kra'ayim, that includes everything, whereas the klal of lemineu is only those minim that are similar to what's in the pasuk. So he darshans the pasuk as a klal prat and not as a klal pratu klal. But the Tan of the Beir Rav Yishmael says that it's a klal pratu klal. I, the Minehu, is not similar to Asher Lo Kra'ayim. The two Klalim are not similar to each other. Tan Dvei Rabbi Shmuel says, I don't care. Even if the two Klalim are not similar to each other, you can use that as part of a limud of a Klal Pratu Klal. And therefore, over here as well, the Klal of Geneva is very expansive. The Klal of Chayim is not very expansive. But nevertheless, those can serve as the two Klalim in a Klal Pratu Klal. Now, once the Tana darshans the pasuk as a klal pratu klal, and the word chayim is the klala achron, and the Torah needs to write it, and doesn't say another prat in the Torah where we could ask why does it say it. So therefore, it needs to explain that when the Tana is asking at the end that v'yomer geneva v'shor v'sev v'chamar v'chayim v'akol b'chlal, it's asking imi matzei timatzei lamali. Why does the Torah have to say at the beginning of the pasuk? And that's what it answers, that the kavanah of the Torah is to be marbe kol davar, to be marbe everything. So Rav explains the entire brisa now based on his teretz, based on his way, his approach to the brisa. And here's how the brisa means to present itself. The brisa that we started with. Yomar shor ugneva v'chaim. Let it say shor ugneva v'chaim. Gneva is a klal, shor is a prat, chaim is a klal. Right? So you have a klal, a prat, a klal. Va'kol b'chlal. And I'll use the klal pratu klal to include anything that's similar to the prat, in that it's metaltel, it's gufo mamon. So says Marno, ilu kein, if it only would have given shar as the lone prat, ha'yisi omer, I would have said, maha prat nefurish dover karvel gabi mizbeach, that the prat is something that's part of the mizbeach, so av kol karvel gabi mizbeach. So the klal pratu klal is only being marbe those things that are similarly brought on the mizbeach, and that's where you pay kefil, but not for anything else. My yesh lahavi. So the Bryce is explaining that what would we include? Only that which is brought on the mizbeach. So what's that including? Seh on its own with just that limud from shar, we already would know seh because seh is also brought on the mizbeach. So kshu omer seh, when the Torah then goes out of its way and says the word seh, hare seh omer, but I already knew seh, hama ani mekayim gedeva, so then what is the klal upratu klal really adding? It can't be adding things that are brought on the mizbeach, because I already knew seh, which is something that's brought on the mizbeach. So what's it actually adding? The rabbis called over to include even those things that are not brought on the mizbeach. And then the brisa goes weiter, and it says, yomar gedeva vishar viseh v'chayim. Let it have the klal of gedeva, the klal of chayim, and the two pratim of shor and seh, va'kol b'chlal, and everything is included. Ilu kein, had we had that, only that, ha'yisi omer, ma pratim furish davar kodesh b'chora, I would say, well, what do shor and seh have in common that we can then expand the category with the klal of prat b'chlal? We would say anything that has kedushas b'chora, av kol davar kodesh b'chora. So ma yesh chalavi, just from that klal of prat b'chlal, what would I include beyond shor v'seh? Anything that has kedushas b'chora, which would include chamar. So kshu omer chamar, hare chamar omer. Then why does the Torah go out of its way and mention chamar? I already would have included chamar in the klal pratu klal. Why does it mention chamar? Amani mekayim geneva. What is the geneva, the klal pratu klal, coming to expand the category? If I already know chamar, if the pasuk already says chamar, it must be l'rabos kol davar. It must be coming to tell me everything, even that which does not have kedushas b'chora. And then the Brisa says yomar geneva v'shar v'seh v'chamar v'chayim v'akol b'chlal. Have the geneva as one klal, chayim as the other klal, and in between shar, seh, and chamar. And I'll already know from the klal prat to klal to include everything. Well, Ilu Kain, had it stopped at that and not said the words himatze timatze hayisi omer, I would have assumed that since you can only learn from klal prat to klal that which is ke'ein haprat, that which is similar to the prat, ma prat mefurish balei chayim, af kol balei chayim. I would assume that you know what you pay kefil for? Living animals, living things. So that's why the Torah says imatze timatze, to tell me that included in this klal prat to klal is not only living things, even things that are not balei chayim. Ma yesh l'chala havi, so what would we have included from the klal prat to klal that's not befeirish in the pasuk? Shar balei chayim. I would have said all other balei chayim. Kshu omer chayim, hare chayim amur. But it says chayim, but then the pasuk goes out of its way and says chayim explicitly. So if I'm going to learn from the klal prat to klal to include shar balei chayim, and then the pasuk goes and tells me chayim, so then the klal prat to klal must be expanding the category beyond just balei chayim. Hamani mekayim geneva. Why does the pasuk say the word geneva? L'rabos kol davar, must be that it's coming to include everything, even things that are not balei chayim. So now we're back to the kasha. Im himatze timatze, the himatze timatze that it says at the beginning of the pasuk, and we said that the Torah writes this to include even things that are not balei chayim. But now I just got from the klal prat klal itself to include things that are not balei chayim. So lamali, what am I getting from im himatze timatze? So says Gemara, according to Rava's understanding, that the first klal is geneva and the second klal is chayim. It turns out that in the end, the Braisa doesn't really answer im himatze timatze lamali. So therefore, the Gemara asks, I hachi shapir kashale. It's a real kasha that why does the Taka say im himatze timatze? So says Gemara, mishum de islay pircha. There's a dechia on this limud. The rabbis called over mehecha kamaisile. Because where did the Tana learn to include even things that are not balei chayim, to include called over miklal basra? It's from the second klal, right? From the fact that it says from the word chayim, and then the klal basra is meant to include beyond whatever is chayim. Well, kol gufei chayim ksivbei. The klal itself says chayim, which implies only chayim. So you can't be marbe shar dvarim from a word that is very limiting, that really says only chayim. So klal pratu klal ma'ikom hanilei. So what does it help to have a klal pratu klal? Ila so you call davar hachayim ksiv. What, you're going to tell me it includes everything? It's not true. It says chayim. Bali chayim in midiach rinilo. The second klal is the word chayim. So don't tell me that second klal comes to include even things that are not chayim. The word is chayim. So it must only include chayim. Mishum hachi hitzrich imimatze. That's why I need imimatze to matze to tell me even things that are not chayim, even things that are not bali chayim, that are also included in Tashlumei Kefil if you steal them. So the Gemara explains, how do I learn klal upratu klal from imhimatze timatze? Amri v'hani shnei klalos tismichi adadininu. Wait, so now we're saying that himatze is a klal and timatze is a klal, and all the examples that the Torah gives are somehow in between them. So it's a klal upratu klal using himatze timatze. But himatze timatze are juxtaposed, they're adjacent to each other. Those words appear one right after the other in the Torah. So hanishne klos tismichi adadi ninu. Himatze timatze are right next to each other, and there's no prat in between them. The pratim all come later in the pasuk. So how can you learn a klal pratu klal from those words? So Ravina kadamri b'marava. It's like they taught in Eretz Yisrael that kol makom shatamotze shne klalos hasmukum zelazeh. Whenever you have two klalim that are adjacent to each other in the pasuk, hatel prat beinehem. If even though the Torah only later starts mentioning pratim, you could take those pratim that are mentioned later and stick them in between the two klalim v'donim chalu prat, and you can dan it as a klalu pratu klal. So shadi shor bein himatze litimatze. So therefore, let's start taking each of the pratim and put it in between the himatze and the timatze. So take shor and put the word shor between himatze, which is the first klal, and Timatze, which is the second klal, and we'll dash in the pasuk as a klal upratu klal lasuye mai, and therefore, what's it coming to include? Ilasuye balichayim. If it's coming to include all balichayim, to say that yichayv kefel michayim nafka, I already know that from the word chayim that all balichayim are included. Ela lasuye davar she'ein balichayim. It must be coming to include even something that's not balichayim with droshachi, and we would dash in ma prat mefurash davar metaltel v'gufa mamon afka tachol davar metaltel v'gufa mamon. That just like shor is something that's movable and it's inherently valuable, so only those things that you steal that are movable and are inherently valuable do you pay kefel for visu. And then shadi chamar bein himatze litimatze. Once I took shor and I put it between the words himatze and timatze, I'll take the word chamar and I'll put it between himatze and timatze, and I'll make another klal uklal drasha lasuye mai. What's that coming to include? Ilasuye davar shein balechayim mishor nafka. If it's just coming to include things that are not bali chayim, I already learned that from the shor in klal prado klal himatze shor timatze. What am I getting from chamar? Elasuy dav masuyam. From the word chamar, I'm learning that you're only chayiv kefel on something that has the way Rashi understood dav masuyam, a heker begufo, something that's clearly easily recognizable. Rashi points out it's from the yisur of the word chamar, and an actual chamar does not have a heker begufo. Chamar is kind of nondescript. But it's from the fact that it has that the Torah goes out of its way to have the extra word chamar as part of this klal pratu klal. That's how I know even the davar masuyam, that it's got to only be a davar masuyam. Ihachi se lamali. Then why does it have the word se? So el riba miyat riba. So says Mari, you're right. Checkmate. Why would it have the word se? How can we include that as part of the klal pratu klal of himatze timatze? As if it says himatze se timatze. So you're right. Let's scratch that whole thing about klal pratu klal. Ella riba umiyat riba. The pasuk should be darshined as a riba umiyat riba. Riboy. Like the Tanna d'Beis Rabbi Shmuel taught. In a similar situation, the Tanna d'Beis Rabbi Shmuel taught in the Parsha of the Simani Tara of Dagim, which fish are kosher. It says bamayim bamayim shtei pa'amim, that it uses the word bamayim twice in proximity to each other. The pasuk says ezze tochlu mikol asher bamayim kol asher lo snapir v'kaskeses bamayim bayam v'chalam osam tochelu. So the word bamayim is a klal because it includes all meimos shel ba'olam and in the chalos klalos, shichin and ma'aros, and so it's two klalim, b'mayim and b'mayim, that are juxtaposed to each other, and yet the pratim of bayamim uvanachalim is not in between the two klalim; it's after the two klalim. So it says b'mayim, b'mayim, and then it says bayamim uvanachalim. Then it goes through the pratim. So ein ze klal prat el riba miyot to riba riba kol. So the rule is, according to the Tanya Beit Rabbi Shmuel, that when you have a klal pratu klal in that order, so your darshan is a klal pratu klal, and the second klal is marba anything that's ke'ein haprat. But when you have klal klal and then pratim, your darshan is a riboy miyot riboy. Meaning you do take the pratim and put them in between the two klalim, but you no longer darshan as a klal pratu klal. You now darshan it as a riboy miyot riboy. So this Tanya Beit Rabbi Shmuel is not like the Bnei Ma'arava, or the what the Gemara in Chulin calls the Tanya Beit Rav, and it holds that anytime the Torah says klal pratu klal, lefi haseder we darshan as a klal pratu klal. It's only when the two klalim are smuchim zelazeh and the pratim come afterwards that we're going to abandon the methodology of klal pratu klal and instead go with riboy miyot riboy. Whereas the Bnei Ma'arava held that even in such a case we'd say klal pratu klal, meaning even when it's klal klal followed by pratim, we would still say klal pratu klal. Now Tosas and Masechah Shavuos and Dafayim Ralph wonders why in the Brisa of Rabbi Yishmael that we say every single morning of the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Behen, do we not include this? That when you have two klalim asmuchim zelazeh, then it's a riboy miyot riboy. This is Tana Debei, Rabbi Yishmael. So when Rabbi Yishmael goes through the 13 midrash HaTorah and Drashas Behen, klal pratu klal is there. Okay, that's good. He holds a klal pratu klal. But he should have mentioned that if the two klalim are right next to each other, then it becomes a riboy miyot riboy. How come that doesn't get mentioned? So the Ritva says, yeah, that's part of the midah of klal pratu klal. You're supposed to figure that part out. I don't know how, but that's just, you know, when he mentions very quickly klal pratu klal, that means everything under the umbrella of klal pratu klal, which includes that when the two klalim are samuk zelazeh, it's riboy miyot riboy. In the Taras Chaim, he suggests that who says that Rabbi Yishmael has to agree with the Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael? Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael means the yeshiva that he started. So he never had a yeshiva that was started by a Rosh Yeshiva and then some later Rosh Yeshiva came along and disagreed with something the earlier Rosh Yeshiva said. That happens all the time. So it's just because it's a Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael, it doesn't mean that Rabbi Yishmael himself agrees with it. So therefore it's not a kasha to begin with. Anyway, so now that it's a riboy miyot riboy, my Rabbi, what are we coming to include? Rabbi Kalmili. Anything that you steal, you're going to pay kefa for. Ihachi kalhani prati lamali. Well, then what do the pratim come to accomplish? They must each come to accomplish limiting the category by one. Meaning, riboy miyot riboy is a much more expansive kind of limud. It includes everything, but then what you do with the miyot is that you just are memayit one thing from each miyot that says. So chad lemute karka, one of the pratim is coming to exclude karka, that you're not chayv kefal for stealing karka. V'chad lemute avadim, another one of the pratim is coming to tell me you're not chayv kefal for stealing avadim. V'chad lemute shtaros, and the third one is coming to tell me that you're not chayv kefal for paying shtaros. And when the Torah adds the words geneva v'chayim, when it adds those klalim of geneva and chayim l'chadrav damar achi l'keren ke'en shaganav, the geneva and chayim is coming to teach me a different drasha, that which teaches me that you pay the keren based on the value at the time of the geneva. Meaning, if let's say you stole an animal and it was worth $1,000 when you stole it, and now it's only worth $700, you pay back $1,000, you don't pay back $700, because even though the market changed, and now it's worth a lot less. So up until now, what we've gotten is that the pasuk of Im lo yimatzei haganav is about toin tainis ganav. The pasuk of Im yimatzei haganav is a machlokas in the brisos that we had in yesterday's daf, whether that's talking about an actual ganav, or it's talking about a towing, or it's talking about a towing tainus ganav. And a ganav himself is the ganav himself is derived from the pasuk of im himatzei timatzei, like the Tanya de Bechizkiya taught. Right, meaning that's how this whole daf started. That if you assume that both of the initial psukim are about towing tainus ganav, how do I know ganav atzmo? So we said, oh, that's from im himatzei timatzei. So now the Gemara explains how we're going to darshan the psukim according to both of the brisos. According to the brisa that held that im yimatzei haganav is about a ganav, and im lo yimatzei haganav is about a toin tainus ganav, V'ganavatzmo nafgalei me im yimatzei aganav. So ganav is actually in the pasuk. So hai im himatzei timatzei my darish bay. Meaning, let's go through how we did this, right? We started the daf by saying, if you hold up both of the pasukim we were dealing with yesterday are about toin tainas ganav, where do I know ganav from? Where do I know that ganav pays kefal? So he said, oh, it's from im himatzei timatzei. So now the natural thing for the Gemara to do is to flip that around and say, and if you hold that I already know ganav from one of the original psukim we were talking about, so now what are you going to do with him? Now him imatzei timatzei is extra. So says Gemara, mi bayu leilich d'rava bar ahiloi. D'am rava bar ahiloi. My time with the rav, the amar, moda b'knas, v'achar kach bo edim pater. What's the basis for the shita of that moda b'knas, that if a person is moda b'knas, and then edim come and testify that he's chayiv, that he's still pater, because he was moda first, he got it in first. This is a sugya daf ayin hey, we're going to have machlokas rav and shmuel, if a person is moda b'knas in front of Beis Din, and then after he was moda, edim come to be mechayiv him, rav says that the hoda still paters him, and Shmuel says that no, he's chayiv, tichsiv, im hi matzei timatzei, im hi matzei be'edim, timatzei b'dayanim, prat l'mashiyas atzmo, that only if the initial discovery of his chiyuv was through edim, then we're going to be able to be mechayiv him the knas, but if it's not through edim, then if he's mashiyas atzmo, then we're not going to be able to be mechayiv him the knas. So it's actually interesting. There's the Rambam writes that when a person does tshuva, they have to be misvada al cheto and yigmar belibo that he's not going to do it anymore. But really, you have to say vidui bedvarim. And then it was misvada bedvarim and doesn't have gomar belibo lazov is like tovol v'sharz biyado v'chulei. So the Shlach Kadosh quotes the Tola as Yaakov that you have to be misvada and to specify. And anyone who's misvada his din is not going to be masur biyadosh shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu, because Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to have rachmanas on him, because a person is karovetz al atzmo, he's not going to be nidon al piv asher yashir elokim and the prat l'mashias atzmo. Meaning the function of vidui is that before they're made against you in bezin shel maila for what you did, admit it first. So you're a moda b'knas, and when you're a moda b'knas v'achar kach ba'oedim, you're going to be pater. So even though there's going to be all these malachim that are made against you, if you were moda first, then you're going to be pater. So I quote the Ramami Panu writes that's the explanation of the pesukim by Bilam. Mi yichya mi sumo el. He says mi yichya means mi shmuel. Sumo el shin mem al vav alif lamed is mi shmuel. That if we paskin like shmuel mi yichya, we're all going to be in trouble, because Shmuel holds moda b'knas v'achar kach ba'edim chayiv. So even you say vidui before you die, it's not going to help, because the edim are still going to come up in Shemayim. So we have to pass like Rav if a person is going to be moda b'knas and actually be pater. So anyway, so says Gemara, man diyamar travayu b'toyin tainas ganav. According to the shita that both of the initial psukim are about toyin tainas ganav, dahai im himatzei timatzei mapakle leganav atzmo, and we already use him himatzei timatzei, just tell me that a ganav pays kefel. So mashiach atzmo. How does he know that if you're moda b'knas v'achar kach ba'edim, you're going to be pater? So where does he know that from? Asher yashiyu neluhim v'lo amashiyas atzmo. From the may asher yashiyu neluhim, it says shnayim yishalim shnayim l're'eu. So that's by yishomer chinam. It sounds like only if it was through dayanim, but if it was through himself, he's going to be pater. Man yamachad b'ganav v'chad b'toyin tainas ganav da'asi lei mi imatzi t'matzi l'mashiyas atzmo. But if I already used imatzi t'matzi, if you go like the shita that imatzi t'matzi teaches me the din of Rav, that if you moda b'knas v'achar kach ba'oedim your pater, hay asher yashiyun my darish bay. So then what are you going to learn from Arshiyun? Amalach, umi bayalei l'moda b'knas the pater. That just teaches me the very din, that a moda b'knas is pater. So when even if Edim don't come, when in the case that Edim don't come at all, not before, not after, you're just a regular moda b'knas, you're pater. So therefore, the pasuk of himatzei t'matzei is extra to tell me that even if Edim come afterwards, you're going to be pater. So now back according to the other opinion that the initial two psukim are both about toin tainas ganav. Kasavar moda b'knas v'achar kach ba'edim chayiv. Says enochinami. There's no extra pasuk to tell me moda b'knas v'achar kach ba'edim pater. And there's good reason for that, because it's not the halacha. Because moda b'knas v'achar kach ba'edim is chayiv, like Shmuel. Ulmandiyam chad b'ganav chad b'toin tainas ganav dinafkale ganav mehaslam. According to the shita that one of the initial two psukim we were dealing with already told me that a ganav is chayev kefel, So we already touched up what are you going to do with the words in Mimatzei Timatzei, so you're going to learn the din of Rav that Modu B'Knas Rachachach Bo'edun's Pater. Avul Kalani Prati Lamali, but why do I need it to say Bishar, Yachamar, Ratzeh, Chaim? What do I need all those Pratim for? So could the Tan of the Be'er Rabbi Shmuel, to teach me the Tan of the Be'er Rabbi Shmuel, the Tan of the Be'er Rabbi Shmuel, called Parsha Shenemra V'Nishnis, Lo Nishnis El Dav Shenes Chadishba, that any time you have a Parsha that seems to be repetitive, there's one detail that's being added in, and it's for that one detail that the entire thing is repeated. So over here also, since the Torah wanted to teach me the din of Rav, and it wanted to tell me that only imhi matze be'edim, only then tim matze b'dayanim, but if you're moda b'knas, you're going to be potter even if edim come afterwards. So it mentions all the pratim again as well, even though it doesn't really need to mention the pratim again. So even though the Torah could have taught the din that it's mechadesh in the parsha without repeating everything, but that's the darka shel Torah, to repeat a lot of the other elements, even though they're unnecessary in terms of being repeated. So okay, we'll stop there. So Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Ema Ganav Atzmo b'Shavua. Have a good day and a good Shabbos, everybody.